You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government is considering amending the Terrorism Suppression Act, which was enacted in 2002. In a copy of the document seen by Newsroom, the Ministry of Justice says the reason for the potential overhaul stems from existing offences in the law for not capturing the full range of behaviors or activities of concern that are part of the contemporary threat of terrorism. Some of the proposed amendments include making membership of a terrorist entity a criminal offense, establishing new offenses for public support of an assigned terrorist act or designated groups, which would include the display of insignia, and updating definitions for digital forms of support. Despite these proposed amendments, concerns have been raised over what would be defined as a terrorist entity and what implications this could have on free speech and political participation in light of events seen overseas. News and editorial director Joel spoke to Richard Jackson, a professor in peace studies at the University of Otago, about these potential amendments and the concerns around this move.
Why are we seeing this potential overhaul now?
That's a difficult question to answer because there's not been a rise in the risk of terrorism. There's no extra level of threat that we're facing. So it's kind of hard to see why the government feels that right now is the time to try and do this. It could be speculated that it has something to do with pro-Palestinian activism around the world and the actions of other countries like the United Kingdom and Australia, who've also brought in kind of stricter security laws around that kind of activism. So I don't know whether New Zealand is just, you know, trying to follow suit, but certainly there doesn't appear to be any sort of direct rationale for it in terms of a rise in the threat posed by terrorism.
These decisions are being made behind closed doors with a small group of hand-picked groups and experts involved in the process. The New Zealand Council for Civil Liberties has expressed concerns of the secretive nature of the consultation process. Should consultations be extended wider?
I think consultations should definitely be much more open and widespread. I think the way in which they're going about this is worrying. It's secretive. It's not transparent. And I don't think that it's being properly rigorous as well. I don't think the number of groups and experts is big enough to capture all the different sort of interests and perspectives that need to be captured in thinking about this. So, yeah, I just don't think that this is following a very good process.
Will these amendments reduce, or potential amendments, reduce the risk of terrorism activity in the country or the potential for terrorism activity here?
In my experience, I don't think that there's any actual evidence, certainly no rigorous empirical evidence, that increasing the severity of the sort of designation of terrorism process and the number of groups involved and the level of involvement that you have to have in a group to be brought under this designation process actually works. There's no evidence from any country, I don't think, that shows that this kind of law reduces the amount of terrorism. But there is evidence to show that these laws most often abused and used against critics of the government, against protesters, and against certain kinds of political expression. And we've seen a great many human rights abuses, people who've been wrongly imprisoned or targeted or prosecuted or harassed for expressing certain kinds of opinion that have fallen foul of these laws.
You've mentioned similar laws or laws in the UK and Australia that have targeted pro-Palestine rallies. Here in New Zealand, we have recently seen the far-right neo-fascist organisation Proud Boys recently have their terrorism designation expire, having had that designation since 2022. The document is proposing to extend the renewal period of terrorist designations to 5 years from the current 3 years. Is there a correlation specifically here, do you think?
I mean, it's hard to say. We can't tell what policymakers are thinking when they're doing these things. My comment would be that I think that 5 years is a very long time. There's a lot that can change in 5 years politically. Groups can change quite significantly in those periods. That seems like a very blunt kind of instrument. And the other point that I would make is just to reiterate that there's no evidence that this is going to be helpful or be effective in increasing security and reducing the threat of terrorism. There's just no sort of real evidence out there that this sort of thing works.
Speaking to what we are seeing in the UK specifically, the UK has allocated the pro-Palestine group Palestine Action a terrorist entity following group members breaking into a Royal Air Force base and spraying paint on refueling planes in protests of the UK's support of Israel. Before the group was allocated a terrorist group, an intelligence assessment found a majority of the activities were lawful, many in opposition of the designation of the group call this move an authoritarian and blatant abuse of power. Could you see something similar here in Aotearoa?
Well, I think this is the worry. The worry is that this new legislation could potentially be applied to direct action that's undertaken not only by groups that are pro-Palestinian, but also by environmental groups, those that are fighting against climate change. So just as, you know, breaking into an Air Force base and spray painting a plane is criminalized as terrorism in the United Kingdom, we might see protesters who glue themselves to a highway or stand in front of a train, a coal train or something like that, be similarly designated as terrorists over here. And I think, yeah, this is the big concern that we have. And we have to have an open process to make sure that the kind of safeguards that we need to protect people's right to free expression, to, you know, political protest, and even to forms of civil disobedience, which have historically been part of the democratic process, we need to be able to debate that and make sure that they're going to be in place in this legislation so that we don't see these kind of absurd situations where nonviolent groups like Palestine Action get labeled as terrorists for trying to stop a genocide. I mean, that's the absurd thing. They are doing their absolute best to try and stop a genocide, to try and save lives, and yet they're being designated as terrorists. And for any, you know, normal, right-thinking person, this is just absurd.
Should we expect to see a change to how terrorism is defined in the country?
I think this is a risk. This is a danger. What we're seeing all over the world is governments using the definition of terrorism and expanding it. So it gets expanded to include, you know, animal rights activists, environmental activists, climate activists, anarchists, any group that sort of has a kind of what we would consider a radical political agenda gets caught up in this. And not only that, we see the expansion of terrorism involving, you know, direct violence against human beings to also being applied to actions like, you know, back in the 2000s, the so-called glorification of terrorism. So if you said anything or wrote a poem or a song or anything like that that could be deemed to glorify terrorism, that was considered an act of terrorism. So we keep seeing this. Governments expand the definition of terrorism, both in terms of the acts that it covers and the groups and causes that it covers, which then has a chilling effect on democracy, on political participation, on free speech, and I think, you know, leads to a great many human rights abuses. And this is a worry, and that's why we need a transparent process to make sure that this legislation is not going to take us down that road.
And that was the University of Otago's Richard Jackson talking to us about the potential overhaul of the Terrorism Suppression Act.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.